Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. I am here with one of my close friends, Dr. Ashley Clevens Hayes, and I was really excited to have her on an episode. As you know, burnout has been a topic and something for discussion for quite some time. Prior to COVID, I think the numbers were about a third to a half of pharmacists felt burnt out prior to COVID, and now the numbers are just astronomical. I was actually presenting last week at the New Jersey Health Systems Pharmacist meeting, and I presented on the number being 75% of pharmacists right now feeling burnt out and struggling and looking for other options, you know, other options in pharmacy, transitioning out of the traditional fields. And so today we're going to talk about little bit on all of these areas and touch on them, but I'm really happy to have you here, Ashley. Why don't you introduce yourselves to everyone for those listening who may not know you, but I'm sure they do. They should know you if they don't.
Thanks, Suze. Yeah, no, this is really fun. I appreciate the opportunity to jump in. So I've run Rx Ashley for the past, I think it's been 5.5 years. I basically run a consulting company helping primarily pharmacists and healthcare professionals show their value in the marketplace and kind of articulate their expertise to either employers or to clients or to whomever it is that they market their services or their brand to. I started off actually right around the time that Susie launched Pharmacist Moms group, posting on LinkedIn and posting in some of our Facebook groups, just tips on how to stand out in a marketplace and how to stand out in a saturated competitive marketplace. And then it's really evolved to authorship, keynotes, online courses, podcasts like this. And, you know, Susie and I have been really close through all the navigating that stuff. So this is exciting. But yeah, like Susie mentioned, burnout and the pandemic and managing all of the things, especially juggling just work-life integration, it's tough. And that's what I support my clients with primarily.
No, that's great. Thank you. Yes, you're touching on all of the topics that I think a lot of us feel as pharmacists, as women in pharmacy, and that we're talking about that. But let's talk about even just applying for a job. So when transitioning, you know, you're thinking about transitioning, and I know there's that stats where men will apply for a job even if they meet, you know, very little criteria, but women are waiting to meet 100% of the criteria before they even apply. What's your experience in even just kind of taking that first step? You know, someone might feel burnt out in their current role. They're working in a traditional way in pharmacy, but then they want to do something else, but then they just don't know where to start. How do they start? What do they do? Mm-hmm. And how do they take that
leap? Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of questions within that one question, but I will say, you know, the first thing is, unfortunately, it takes anywhere between, in my experience working with pharmacists, it takes anywhere between 3 months to just a couple of years to land a new competitive job. And that just depends on a lot of things. The golden handcuffs that keeps us in these high paying salary jobs, despite us being unhappy. Number two, geography. A lot of us are limited and restricted on where we can move. Number three, qualifications, not necessarily underqualified, but a lot of times we're overqualified or we don't know if we're qualified. So there's just a lot of different factors on what you can do first. But I got to tell you, I think what I've experienced the most working with clients who are in a quote unquote burned out state is recognizing that the grass isn't always 100% greener on the other side, and learning how to get out of burnout before you try to get a new job. The reason why I kind of talk a lot about this is because I think it's kind of similar what I equate to dating. You don't want to bring your baggage from your current job, your mentality, your mindset into the next job. And so a lot of times I see clients interviewing for jobs and they're so burnt out, they kind of bring that downwards mindset into these new opportunities, which limits us and limits our capabilities. So what I like to do with my clients is first, you know, be really aware of the tools that you can do right now. What can you control right now to get out of burnout? And there's a lot of things you can do. You can undercommit, you can get off committees, you can, you know, transition into different roles internally in a company, which one of my clients just did, and she's super excited about. There's a lot of things you can do right now that you can start practicing to get you outside of burnout. Then transition, then focusing on the transition, I think, is a whole nother phase. But what I like to encourage my clients to do is to learn the tools, the techniques, the tips and the tricks on how to elevate your mindset, really practice talking about your expertise, talking about your value that you bring to an organization before you leave a job, and then transitioning into a new job. But, you know, going back to qualifications, going back to if you're qualified or not, a lot of times we just don't think that we're qualified for things because the job descriptions are very vague. Yeah. And they're very all over the place. And a lot of times hiring managers don't exactly know what they're looking for. So it's challenging to align both of those, you know, one, what do they want? And two, what does the employer want? So I think if you're somewhat interested in the job, just put your best foot forward in building up your resume, building up your LinkedIn profile, start networking. I think that's one of the best things you can start doing. But I also will tell you, networking is definitely the number one way to land new jobs in this competitive marketplace. And I'll tell you a personal story too. There's a lot of questions that you ask in this one simple question. So yeah. I have a lot of things to say, but just this one thing, this one little story that happened just last week. So my husband is in medicine and he hired a new physician assistant and they were talking and come to find out her mom was, and is one of the executives, one of the companies that I've been trying to get in on for a long time. In 2020, 2021, I was trying to email someone and I never heard it back. It was totally dead on their silence on their end. Well, coincidentally, my husband, Chris, hires this PA. Coincidentally, her mom is like the executive of the company that I'm trying to get into. And now all of a sudden next week, I have a meeting with the person that I've been trying to connect with for over 2 years.
That's how it works.
It's so annoying to me that I had to have my husband, you know, and because he texted me, he's like, weren't you trying to get on this company? I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me right now? But Quinn, you know, she emailed me the next day, we connected. And next week I have a meeting with someone that I've been trying to meet with for 2 years. And I'm so excited about it. Who knows where it's going to go, but at least I know, like I have an in now. It's rather than this no control over email system. So I got,
no, I agree. I think networking is so important. I always tell everyone, I'm like, it's not just who you know, it's who you know and who they know.
Exactly.
So you've got to kind of make, you know, use of that. So it's not just who you know, it's like that next step, that next, you know, who they know, it's the people you know who they know and who they might know, like somebody's aunt or uncle or
exactly. One of my clients landed a job, she was trying to get into industry and it wasn't working. She was reaching out to her classmates, she joined all the organizations, she was trying her best, but ultimately what ended up happening was her aunt was at church one day. And her aunt started striking up a conversation with a friend from church, and the church woman coincidentally worked for the organization that Tiffany, my client, wanted to get in. And so it's like, that's how she landed the job, not by going to conferences or anything. Yeah, exactly. Now I'm not saying don't go to conferences. Right. But yeah. I'm just saying, you just don't know sometimes.
You don't. Yeah, exactly. And I think that you're saying that you can still definitely get a job without knowing somebody.
Of course. Of course.
That can definitely happen.
Yes.
But it can help, you know, if you do know somebody and it can give you a leg up somewhere.
For sure.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay. LinkedIn profile. I think that you touched on that. And I think that is where I tell everyone to start. If you do not have a LinkedIn profile in 2022, what is going on?
Yeah. It's just one of those platforms that you have to be on these days, especially in a competitive marketplace. If you're looking for a job, if you're not even looking for a job, if you're interested in elevating your expertise or knowing, being known as an expert in your industry, or just wanting to have opportunities and the opportunity to connect with people, LinkedIn it's free. It's costs you nothing but time. But I will say you got to set up the profile so it matches what you do. A lot of people just set up a profile and they kind of leave it, but it goes beyond that. You have to be engaging. You don't have to necessarily post every day. That's asking for a lot. That's definitely going above and beyond. But I would say set up your profile, make sure it's speaks to your brand, speaks to who you are, speaks to the expert that you are. And then number three, if anything, if you can commit to 30 minutes a week or 5 minutes a day, engaging with other people who are like you or who have similar interests in you, that's definitely a place to get started.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you can, you know, make friends and people will remember who you are just by even liking or commenting on a post or sending a DM to somebody.
I mean, that's where my whole business model started 5-6 years ago, was posting and kind of just requesting people that I was interested in that were smarter than me, that I wanted to learn from. And that's where this all came from.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I think that's when you said it, I was like, that's where we need to start. You know, if you're interested in transitioning, you know,
and it's virtual networking. It is now, there's sometimes, I got to say, there's some weirdos online, you know, there's always those people, like, you just block them and you just move on. Don't let those people sway you. But overall, it's definitely been way more positive than anything negative for me and for everyone that I support too.
No, I agree. So we talked a little bit about this actually offline, but I did want to touch on what can employers do when you see that, you know, a lot more than half of your workforce is looking for a different job or looking for something else. What can they do to retain employees, or what can they do? So if you're an employer listening, or you're a manager listening, and you've been hiring and people have been leaving, and you know, what are some tips that you have?
That's a good question. I recently started thinking about this because everyone's talking about the employee and how burnt out they are, but the employer or a manager is honestly probably even more burnt out because they have even not to neglect or downplay any level of burnout. It's all equally terrible, or it's all equally just really challenging to be experiencing right now. But the pressure that a manager and the pressure that employers or owners or C-suite have on themselves right now is beyond, it's unfathomable, right? So dealing with not only dealing with their job, their normal job description and their normal duties, now they're faced with employees being burnt out, depressed, mental health issues, they're not getting paid enough. And so the managers or employers are having to interview more or post jobs, or that's exhausting. That's a whole job in itself.
Yeah, it really is. I you can't discount
interviews. So, you know, there's this whole, it's so time consuming.
Yeah.
So there's this whole notion of who has it harder and who needs more support. And I got retaining employees and manager support, they need to manage themselves first, I think. And the same advice that I'll give an employee or someone working for an employer is you have to get unburnt out first. How are you managing your own self-care? You know, how are you managing your own health, both professional health and personal health? And I think it goes back to just getting back to this, going back to the drawing board and getting really simplistic here and not overcomplicating this, because managers and CEOs and people who are responsible for a lot of different FTEs, a lot of different organizational charts, they're humans too. And I think we tend to put them in a separate box, like they're humanless, but they need to take care of themselves too. And so I think practicing getting unburnt out, is that a thing?
Yeah. Well, if it's not, we can point a term.
Getting out of burnout themselves is first and foremost.
No,
and then I think there's all different strategies, you know?
Yeah. Cause the one question I received last week was from a manager who made the schedule at a large health system, talking lots of pharmacists, and no pharmacist wanted to work on Friday. So no matter how this person made the schedule, someone was always going to come into the office and was upset that they had to work on Friday.
Right.
So, you know, and I was asked the question and it really got me thinking, you know, what do you do? Because you want to make sure your employees are happy, but at the same time, someone has to work on a Friday. Somebody has to even work Saturday and Sunday.
You know what? It's so much deeper than that, though. I mean, it's so much deeper. There's so many layers to this. It just seems like those, they got to have a come to Jesus moment at some point. There seems to be a lot of communication issues there, because, or there's just so many different things. Like, it's not just about the schedule, right? It's probably about something else. The employees have other things going on in their personal life. They feel under pressure. They feel underpaid. They feel overworked. They feel like COVID has gotten them down, that they've been exposed so much that they just want time away. Whatever it is, it's not just about the Friday schedule. Friday could be Wednesday, it could be Sunday. It could be something else, but I would take a step back and say, what else is going on here? It's probably not just about the schedule.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the other thing that I've seen, at least, is that when you're at work, it's no different than if you're at a meeting or you were in school on the side, you might be writing a grocery list, or you might be, you know, thinking about your daughter's dance recital coming up and you have to buy X, Y, and Z shoes for her. And, you know, there's just different things that come up. And I think that on top of, you know, so you're working, but then you're thinking about everything at home that you have to do. So we talked a little bit about actually putting money into services that will help your employees at home. So maybe, you know, a $150 American Express gift card at the end of the week and say, you know, this is for cleaning up. This is for, you know, making the purchases, an Amazon gift card, and just different things like that to lighten the load at home, so that when you get home, you're not as stressed, you know, the dishes are done.
I love
and
that.
So you can focus on at work and you're not like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go home. And many times this has happened to me, and I'll be really transparent, is like, I would walk out of the house with the breakfast dishes on the kitchen table because I was in a hurry. And
this morning.
And I come home and it's like 5:30 and the cereal bowls are still on the table. So that's stressful. I mean, so it's managing that, because it's really not if you learn how to manage or cope with it, I think, but it can be stressful.
It's hard. Yeah. There's a fine line of what is the employer responsible for versus what is the employee responsible for, because that's kind of crossing. I mean, that's an amazing first step, right? I'll take $150 for my self-care, for my home care any day. Like, if someone wants to give me a Visa gift card to hire someone to do my dishes, thank you. I will send you my personal mailing address. You can do that. But again, I just think that there's some lines there, right? It gets blurry. It gets blurry as to what is enough. Like, okay, so you give a mouse a cookie, right? You give someone $50. Well, you know, they want 100. It's like, where does that end and where does your personal life begin? And it's complicated, but I think it's a great stepping stone, and it's a great tool to sample to see if that's what's going to help your employees be engaged. Yeah. You have to measure what is engagement, what is it worth to the business? What is it worth to the company or to the health system or whomever it is, whatever company it is.
Yeah. And the other thing was organization from the employer standpoint, because if you think about it, if you spend 10 minutes looking for this IV or this sticker, and you're going to get annoyed and aggravated. So if your pharmacy in and of itself is organized, I read a lot about this, just keeping an organized workplace can really decrease the burnout of the employees, because they're not running around and looking for this pencil or this pen, or it could be something so minor, you know, a sticker that they have to find. And, you know, if the printer runs out of ink and having to change it, now there's no ink. And what do we do here?
And pharmacists are supposed to be fax experts and ink and printer experts too. So I think just what it comes down to is we don't want to get bogged down with not necessary things. So, you know, our focus as a pharmacist, you know, if we're alluding to the health system or inpatient or ambulatory or whatever it is, community, whatever it is, we want to focus on what's most important, and that is patient care and making sure that the patients are taken care of and that we're doing our job effectively and efficiently. And what gets in the way of a lot is what causes the burnout, the politics, the underpay, the overcommitted, we're on 1,000 different committees and 1,000 different people are asking us to do 1,000 different things and juggling all those things. So as an employer, I think you have to be aware of what your team is managing. Right. And if finding the stapler is going to take an hour, how can we support that employee to make sure that that never happens again?
Exactly.
Or when someone comes to you as a manager and they're an employee, say they're a pharmacist in the ICU, and they're saying, like, listen, I have too much on my plate right now. I'm on 15 committees. I'm managing the COVID protocols. I'm managing seizure policy, the anti-seizure policies that are coming in. I'm managing also, because the NICU pharmacist is on FMLA or they're on maternity leave. So I'm cross covering for them. I have a lot on my plate. How can you help me manage this? Right. Most of what I hear from my clients is managers are kind of, again, overwhelmed themselves. So they have a little bit of a fog in their eyes. And there's that disconnect of empathy and understanding each other. And I think what will help burnout is breaking down that disconnect and really building each other up and supporting one another in how can we get through this together?
Definitely. Yeah, I love that. I think that's important. I want to ask one other question to you though, too. Where do you see pharmacists going? So when they want to leave traditional practice, where are you seeing them? What spaces? Is there a trend mm-hmm. or is it everywhere?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I think you mentioned this at the top of our discussion, but I just was, I read these articles studies that come out every day. And by 2025, there's going to be predictable 75% of clinicians who are practicing today want to turn over and go into non-bedside, non-patient care roles. So, wow. One, I am scared to be a patient. I'm about to deliver my baby. And I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little nervous. I ask my OB every time I see her, like, how are you doing? She's like, Ashley, you are here as a patient. I know. I was like, I know, but I'm worried about you. Like, are you okay?
You're sweet. No, but you're right. I swear I did that with my internist because I was just like, I don't know.
She's like, stop asking me those questions. I was like, no, but I'm really concerned about you. And she's like, so, oh man. So yeah, I do think that turnover is happening. People are leaving. So I think the thing I'm seeing the most is honestly the top one I get hundreds of emails about is a clinical inpatient pharmacist, even ambulatory, going into MSL, medical affairs. I mean, that is the trend right now, for sure. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. Another thing is going into consulting companies or startup companies or any VC-backed startup companies that is a healthcare expenditures. Mental health is huge right now. And so there's a lot of opportunities for, especially for clinicians and especially pharmacists to enter a space of what we call quote unquote non-traditional roles, but that's really becoming the traditional role now is just expanding upon your area of influence. And I can't deny it that industry is definitely the number one. Industry pays well. You can work from home. You get treated pretty well. You work hard, but you get a car, you get gas, you get, you get stock options. You can't beat that.
No, you're right. And then I think prior authorization too. I see a lot of that. Too.
Yeah.
A lot of work from home. It's the same thing. Work from home.
And a lot of PBM, a lot of managed care. Yeah. I mean, I just got back from AMCP and there's just, it was such a great conference. And, you know, pharmacists are doing some amazing work. It just looks differently, but I'm still, you know, there's still pharmacists who really want to practice bedside, who really want to be there with the patient. Yeah. And we need excellent, not just good, we need excellent clinicians or else I'm scared. That's scary. That scares me.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I agree. No, me too.
So I don't want to see everyone leave. I want to see the employers and employees really elevate each other and how can we make this work? But that requires a lot of energy to figure out, navigate, how do we get out of this predicament coming out of the pandemic-ish, whatever is going on in our universe right now. But how do we support one another and make sure that the goal of each other are obtained and that we can protect clinicians and protect pharmacists from feeling like they have to leave? That's the only option.
Yeah.
So I'm really split.
Yeah. No, this, I mean, this conversation can go on. I think we can, we can do like two different sessions. It's almost like the employer side and, you know, retaining these employees. And to your point, you want hardworking, you want, you know, clinicians who know their stuff. I mean, for lack of a better word, but I mean, I know I want the pharmacist checking on me to be an amazing pharmacist, you know, well trained.
Yeah, I need the, I am about to be a patient. And let me tell you, I hired a labor doula because I'm just a little scared. I'm a little scared because I know burnout. I know I'm just kind of like another pregnant lady going through the system. And so I am putting up some barriers for myself to take care of myself too.
Yeah, no, exactly. You have to.
I don't trust anyone. It's just like, I'm, you know, the anxiety about everything is kind of coming as a patient.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And you're married to medicine too.
Unfortunately, but fortunately. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So where can people find you if they're interested in finding you?
I think the best place to go is rxashley.com. And that is Ashley with two E's.
Yes. No, perfect. And before we end every episode, I do have our guests share a photo with everyone so they can get to know you a little bit better. And what photo are you sharing today?
I'll share one with my whole family, my crew. This is the most important part of me. So there you go. And as a pharmacist mom, I got to represent, you know?
Love it. Well, thanks again, Ashley. Thanks for being on here today.
My pleasure.